Good evening and welcome to The Golden Hour. My name is Wallace Bain. On our show today, we pay tribute to a fallen local radio icon, KPIG's Laurie Roberts. But for most of the show today, we're going to focus on the great Santa Cruz band, The Mermen, who have released a new album. In honor of the latest recordings, we cast out a net across the country to find some of the band's most ardent fans to try to get a sense of the band's deep appeal. All that's coming right up. Stay tuned. Follow me. We're traipsing across an artichoke field on the ocean side of Highway 1 at Four Mile Beach, just north of Santa Cruz. The day is awash in late afternoon sunshine, and as fresh as only spring days can be. The hills near Bonny Dune behind us are screaming yellow with wild mustard flower. See that small stand of cypress on the bluff? That's where we're heading. When we approach the trees from behind, they block our view of the ocean until we step clear of them just to our left, to the vista spot 40 feet or so above the beach. Before we do that, here, take these earbuds. Later I'll tell you that what you're listening to is called Unto the Resplendent by a band called The Mermen, but that's not important now. We'll share liner notes later. Okay, now's the moment. There she is, the silver Pacific, the diffused sun making a trail of diamonds on the water's surface to the horizon. The view itself is intoxicating enough, but I'm holding you gently at the elbow, because with what you're hearing, you just might be tempted to think you can fly. The song opens with a pillowy build-up that suggests a gradual dawning of light, and it soon arrives at one simple, majestic, tremolo guitar line that quickly sweeps you up out of your body to some elevated vantage point above the ocean, above your life, above history. In that noble and hypnotic melody, you're feeling a sense of momentous arrival after a journey. Maybe it's your arrival to this magical place, or the arrival of your ancestors to the west. You can catch a glimpse of the thousand trails and mountain passages across the continent behind you, of Walt Whitman's public road, of the migratory impulse that explains the American story. You're experiencing the bliss of being alive, sure, but you're also experiencing the communion of standing where nameless others have stood before you, the triumph of meeting the end of a long road, the wonder of being small and facing the immensity of natural forces. You're experiencing peak California. I'm gonna go to the bathroom. Those who have listened to this program regularly have heard quite a bit of the music of the Mermen, a trio of musicians based in Santa Cruz. They are bassist Jennifer Burns, drummer Martin Jones, and guitarist, composer, and creative wizard James Jim Thomas. Everyone has their favorite musical artists and bands, but in recent years, I've taken the deep dive with this particular trio, finding in their signature sound a sense of exhilaration and inspiration for my creative mind. With their all-instrumental music, inspired by, but in no way contained or defined by, traditional Dick Dale-style surf guitar, I have found a kind of sonic landscape to explore that I simply can't find anywhere else. The Mermen are not rock stars nationally, which is more of an indictment on the blindness of the music industry than the band itself. But they do have fervent fans all across the country and indeed all over the world. And Merm fans do not tend toward moderation in their admiration. Many of them are in fact evangelists for the Mermen sound, for the textures and pathways to be found in their recordings, for the revelations of their mind-bending live shows, and for the unpredictable and unique genius of Jim Thomas as a musical visionary. These days, the Merms have a new recording out titled, and excuse my French, Splendeur et Misère, Splendors and Miseries. To mark the occasion, I went out into the world to find people like me who have happily gone down the merman rabbit hole, to butcher a land sea metaphor. The first person I turned to was Steve Penny, who literally spoke to me in a remote camping spot southeast of Big Sur. The first thing Steve told me when he found a signal was, "The merman changed my life." That got me interested. I mean, how would you characterize your relationship with the group or their music? I mean, do you like the guys and can kind of and love the music, or is it the other way around? How would you characterize it?
Well, like I said in my email to you, and you can publish anything in that email, and I think Jim has got one of the best hearts of anyone I know. His yeah. music embodies that. I just want to dwell in the space he creates, which is why I can listen to one of his songs for 2 months over and over and over and not listen to anything else for 2 months. Because I feel like I'm at the bosom of the eternally loving mother. It's just so warm. And he hasn't lost puppy love, which is that intense fascination and love. Which yeah. To my ear, his ability to convey awe and wonder is how he's kept in touch with the little kid in him that comes through in the music, and it's just so vital for me.
You actually listen to one song over yeah, and over again? Tell me about that.
Shooting Colors Everywhere. It's about a 12-minute song. Several of his songs, which at a certain phase of my life, like I remember driving all the way from Yosemite all the way home, 5 hours, just listening to Raglan over and over again. That's not unusual for me with his music. I really like it a lot. I just want to stay there when I get in that groove from
This is the Golden Hour. My name is Wallace Bain. We are talking with Steve Penny about his favorite band, The Mermen. What was it about that one particular track that made you keep going back? I mean, was it? It sounds like you used it as a sort of, I don't know, meditation jumping off point or something.
Absolutely, it's the feeling of awe and wonder, and the driving force motivation in it. And man, it just has so many twists and turns through it, but it elevates me. Some people go to church. I tend to go to mountaintops, like where I'm sitting right now. And but his music elevates me to a higher level. That is that song, Shooting Colors Everywhere. Now, I haven't heard it for probably a year. And when I put it on again, I'll go right back to how I felt a year ago listening to it. So for me, a lot of his songs are like a roadmap to my life. And oh yeah, I put this on. God, that was what was happening.
That's amazing.
I intentionally imprint that way.
Tell me about the environment in which you experience this music. Do you use earbuds out in the wild? Do you hang out at home? What do you do?
Usually when I'm driving in expansive country, for me, expansion, all my life, I grew up a surfer in Southern California. I was a child of the 60s. So the Stratocaster guitar and Dick Dale are right at the heart of making me feel like I'm sunburned and stoked, and I got salt water up my nose and loving it, surfed out. That's what his sound brings to me. And it brings forth an adolescence feeling that is really good and vital in me. But I have always sought out high views because I've learned there's a Tibetan Buddhist meditation technique about sky gazing, that the sky is our most accessible example of infinity, and that most of our life we spend in conceptualization at arm's length. But when you behold the clear blue sky or an expansive view, this liberates our mind from conceptualization. And Jim's music in that setting only turns up the amplitude. I want to go there. So I listen a lot. I camp a lot. I'm often camping about 5 months of the year. And so I'm often listening to it in high expansive views, like where I am right now.
Listening to The Golden Hour. My name is Wallace Bain. This hour we are talking about the Merman. It is tempting to think of the Merman's particularly psychedelic surf sound to be exclusively a West Coast or a California passion, that unless you live or once lived near the Pacific Ocean, that you can't possibly understand the vibe that Jim Thomas is shooting for in his songs, at times aggressive and at other times contemplative. All that is wrong. The Merman have played in venues from coast to coast and many places in between as well. And though surfers and other ocean lovers might feel a unique kinship to the Merman, the band's sound and its appeal is larger than that. One such example is superfan Jack Saylor, who has spent his entire life in either Savannah, Georgia or Montgomery, Alabama, steeped in the music that makes that region of the country such a musical treasure. For Jack, though, the Merman still reigns supreme on land as well as in the sea.
I heard one of their songs just sort of out of the blue, and it was Curve. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh, sure.
Awesome song. And I was like, man, that is exactly the music I wish I could, you know, do my perfect. I loved it. And so I started looking into them and then went into No Definite Future and all that, and I'll just tell my wife, go, man, these guys are great. And then started following them, and you know, got all their CDs. Then the crazy thing is they had a tour, I guess, that went through Birmingham in 2003. And I just happened to see it at one of the bars that I go to or used to go to, you know, where it said the Merman are playing. Anyway, I went and saw him, and that's when I first met Jim and talked to him for a little while then. 2003, I went and saw him. And, of course, I was even more blown away. Because I think they really are just amazing. Jim is just unbelievable in you know, live. So then for some crazy reason, and the company I was working with would send me out to the Bay Area. And this is around 2004, 2005, something like that. And they used to play, the Chi-Tones used to play every Thursday night in the Beach Chalet out there. So I would make sure, and I would fly home on Friday. So every Thursday night that I could, when I was out there, I'd go see the Chi-Tones. And I got to know Jim, and it was weird because when the first time I went there, I mean, of course, I recognized him. But for some reason, he looked over at me. He goes, "Man, have I met you somewhere before?" You know, and I was just like, "Wow, you know, that's a pretty good memory out of all the places he's been, you know, and played." And so I went out there, and I used to see him every Saturday night or Thursday night. And then and I had gotten back into surfing. I'm originally from Savannah, Georgia, which is on the opposite coast. And, you know, had gotten away from surfing. And this brought me totally all the way around. I started surfing again, and most of it down in Santa Cruz. And so I ended up meeting up with Jim, but he showed me around his studio, and we sort of hung out. And now every time, and that was probably in 2007 or something like that. Now, whenever I get in town, you know, we go surfing together. And I'm also a fledgling guitar player. I think that's why I like his style so much. And, you know, we got to be good friends, and, you know, I'll probably talk to him. Hell, this COVID has sort of slowed things down, but I try to get out there about four or five times a year.
That's amazing. I mean, there's really two things going on there, right? Is your love of the music, and also your relationship with Jim. I mean, it could happen. It could happen that you're a big fan of someone you don't have a relationship with, or that you're good friends with someone that you're not really into their music that much. But in this case, you check both boxes.
Absolutely. His music, I call it cerebral surf. It sort of makes you think, you know, and I don't know, that makes, it's not like Dick Dale, which is sort of pop surf. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense, yeah.
And it's sort of this cerebral, and it just sort of makes you, I don't know, I get lost in it all the time. And every single time I listen to one of his songs, which, and honestly, Merman's pretty much all I listen to now. And it's been that way for probably over 10 years. But every time I hear some, you know, I hear one of their songs, I always hear something unique and different. And I love that. You know, it's just really some little phrase or something like that, you know, I hear, and it's just the coolest thing to me. And I don't know, I can't explain it. That music just aligned with, just, you know, the sea, the ocean. I'm a big lover of that. I know Jim is too. And I just don't see how you could like the ocean and the sea or surfing or whatever and not like the Merman or vice versa.
Did you come to the Merman having been a fan of that music you mentioned earlier, Dick Dale and that kind of thing, or not?
I did. I like that music, but it was a little pop gummy. That's a, I don't know, it's sort of pop to me, and there's nothing that really, you know, it was good, and I mean, I liked it, but it wasn't something that I really got infatuated with, you know? And when I first heard Curve, and I was just like, man, that is the sound. Then I heard, you know, No Definite Future, and, you know, started listening to all their songs. I was like, God, man, that's exactly, if there was a way I could produce music or could write music, that would be it. That's exactly what's sort of been in my mind. You know, it's just like, that's what I've heard for years, but I've never heard anybody do it. I don't see how you could listen to this music and not be infatuated with it personally. You know, it's just so unique and introspective, I guess, maybe is a word.
Daniel Guacata was a college radio DJ in Mississippi when he first heard the Mermen. It's been a long journey with Daniel and the band, but he went from Southern superfan to occasional jam partner to taking on the drumming duties, sitting in for regular drummer Martin Jones in the Mermen's most recent album.
They're my favorite band, period. They have been since I heard Food for Other Fish. Like, as soon as I heard the beginning track of that album, it was The Ocean, and I was like, and I'm in Mississippi, you gotta remember, like, I'm like stuck in Mississippi. So I hear that, and I'm like, I feel the crisp, cool air of the ocean. Like, just by the first 20 seconds of that track, you know? And then, like, and then that riff comes on, you do it, and then, you know, starts that riff. Immediately, I was like, this is my favorite band I've ever, this is it, it's my favorite band. This is before I even knew who they were already. And
love at first needle drop.
It really was. Ever since then, they've taken me to a place that, and remember, I've never surfed or anything. I'm a surfer now because of the Mermen when I moved to the Bay Area. But then when I was listening to the music, I felt like I was in the ocean. I felt like I was surfing, and it wasn't like that fast moving Dick Dale kind of type or adventurous type of surf music. It was like soulful and moving. And I listen to classical music, so that's my, you know, classical music's my favorite form of music. It's classical jazz and then rock and roll. But it has such a classical sense to it. It breathed, it had a lot of air, it had a lot of movement like classical music does. So it was rock and roll, but it had a classical sense. I was hooked. And so I've always loved the way that they play their music. I mean, Martin's one of my favorite drummers. I love his drumming style. I can never understand what he's doing. You know, it's so tribal. It's so crazy. I don't get it sometimes, but I love it. And that drew me into it more, you know, hearing that strong drumming and beautiful lyrical guitar, but still gnarly and just raw. It's awesome. I mean, I don't think there's a band that does what they do.
Let me ask you, before you came to the Mermen, were you listening to things that were similar, or was it really out of left field for you?
I mean, I thought Run Don't Walk was cool by the, you know, I mean, Walk Don't Run by the Ventures was cool, and I loved surf music, and I always, like, kind of admired it, because I do like how melodic it is and how beautiful it is, but I wasn't, like, into surf music or anything. I was into, like, I don't know, I was listening to, like, Megadeth and, you know, Firehose and, you know, Caifanes from South America or from Mexico. I was listening to music from all over the world, jazz. I was just a sponge, taking it all in. But when I heard the Mermen, it slowed me down a little bit, and I was like, whoa, this is powerful stuff. Like, it just, I don't know. It spoke to me in a way that made sense.
You are listening to The Golden Hour. My name is Wallace Bain. We're talking about the Santa Cruz trio, The Mermen, with Daniel Guacata, who went from being a long-distance fan to being an honorary merman, playing drums on several tracks of the band's recordings. After college in Mississippi, Daniel eventually moved to Northern California and went from being pen pals with Jim Thomas of the Mermen to playing buddies to creative collaborators.
Well, the first time I ever played with them was in New Orleans. So when they came to Hattiesburg, we played two shows. One in Hattiesburg, the one that I booked, and I believe I booked the one in New Orleans too, which was funny. It was at the Mermaid Lounge, freaking Mermaid Lounge in New Orleans.
Oh my God.
Played.
How can you beat
and,
that?
Yeah, right. I was like, Merman at the Mermaid Lounge? We got to do this. So I booked the two shows. And then the show in New Orleans, it was the second show of the two. Jim was like, hey, you want to play drums with us on the song? And like Martin was like, yeah, I'm going to take a break. I was like, I almost passed out.
Imagine so.
I was nervous. I didn't know. I was like, I'm going to screw this up. Like, I'm going to look like an idiot. These guys are like legit. Like, I'm what? He's giving me an opportunity to come up there and jam with them. He trusts me to do that. And so I had to go up there and do it, and I did it, and we had fun. And I don't know if it was good or bad. I don't remember, but we had fun. Before I moved to Palo Alto, I was in a surf band that I started called Buddy and the Squids. And it was me and two other guys. And we created two EPs and released them. You can look it up on Spotify and iTunes, Buddy and the Squids. But that was like, I want to do surf music. I love this stuff. So we would dress up in matching Hawaiian shirts, and we played like shows all over, you know, Southern Mississippi, just getting the stoke out. Never have surfed, never done, knew nothing about surfing, but we just loved the vibe, and that's what we did. And then I moved out to the Bay Area, and Jim was like, Buddy and the Squids. You know, he just thought it was hilarious. He thought it was so funny.
That is so cool. And he kind of drew you into having an ocean-centered life in a way.
Oh, yeah. When I sent him an email saying, hey, I'm starting a surf band. Do you have any recommendations, songs we should learn? And he was like, yeah. And then he like sent me like a box of CDs. Like stuff, like, and we learned a lot of that stuff, you know. So he was like excited that I was starting a surf band out in Mississippi.
Listening to The Golden Hour, my name is Wallace Bain. Scott Deschain is an independent filmmaker from Doylestown, Pennsylvania, who has also been struck between the eyes by the Mermen and their questing, expansive, surf-flavored instrumentals.
I would say each Merman album is kind of like a bottle. It's like a bottle of wine, you know. I kind of look at it. Some things are immediately apparent right away, and other things you enjoy as you live with it for a while. You know, it's like certain things jump out right away. To me, the first thing I heard by them was A Glorious Lethal Euphoria.
Uh-huh.
And the song Pulp and Line, I don't know if you've heard that on that.
Sure, before. Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of like, you know, this fierce blast of sonic energy. Grabbed me. I was like, whoa, this is good stuff. But then there's a lot of stuff on that album and some of the subsequent Merman albums that, you know, the charms are revealed only when you get more familiar with it, when it kind of grows on you, because some of it might sound familiar at first, but there's a lot of nuances that you only get familiar with, you know, as you live with it for a while. So that, to me, that's one of the joys about the Merman, is there's stuff I don't really get to know a Merman album sometimes for months after it's released, because, you know, I don't rush in and try and devour it. Each thing is like having a new experience, and you want to savor those, and you only be able to hear a new Merman song for the first time once. So I sort of, you know, sort of let the experience linger over the months after an album is released.
I see. In his work as a filmmaker, Scott Duchaine has tackled some rather esoteric, even mystical subjects, such as the possibility that the Earth's upper atmosphere might be home to undiscovered biological creatures. To his surprise and delight, he found a willing collaborator with the Merman's Jim Thomas. That must be a great luxury for a filmmaker, to turn to a guy who is able to create something that enhances the spirit of your project, right? I mean, that's probably hard to find.
Absolutely. It's a huge honor, and Jim has such a musical vocabulary, and yeah, like I said, he's like a force of nature, and it's funny because I gave him a bunch of notes on the Coho Blade stuff, and he snapped to those right away. I didn't even have to give him the notes. But he said, "Oh, those notes are helpful." So I gave him some notes on the new project, and he came back at me with something. Obviously, just took my notes and threw them out the window. Yeah, so I got this thing back from Jim, and it was totally unlike. It's like the main. It's the opening sequence that leads into the title sequence, and I was like, "What the hell is this?" Because it was unlike anything that I had heard before, and so I said, "All right, you know, this is why you're working with the guy, because he's giving you something that you don't expect, you know. If you want something you expect, you're going to go with somebody that can produce product rather than art." So I listened to it about 10 times, about 15 times, and I said, "You know, this is freaking genius." I said, it's like some kind of Velvet Underground jam with some kind of can, you know, the German band, some kind of can-inspired jam, and it rises to this kind of primal, you know, climax near as the title comes rising up out of this sea of ink, and it's brilliant. So I that's just one scene, but it's been a great roller coaster ride. So
as a Merman fan, when you're kind of chilling with a Merman record, do you like the aggressive kind of stuff, or do you like the kind of contemplative kind of stuff?
Oh, I like them both. I like the aggressive stuff a lot. I know that some of the softer stuff tends to reveal itself over the course of many listens, but the aggressive stuff is—it's just got an energy that I don't find a parallel to it in a lot of other music. It's just I can think of, you know, some particular songs that are just, you know, off the charts, out there, just in terms of the energy that's being. And like I said, I think Jim channels something from somewhere. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'll get a piece from him, and I sit down, I listen to it, and I go, oh my gosh. And you have to remind yourself that this is one man making this music. He works with a drummer, and he works with Jennifer, the bassist, on some of this stuff. But some of the stuff he's doing, he's just doing himself. And some of the pieces that we've used have just been him on the guitar, just because, you know, he's able to perform this stuff. And you go, oh, good grief, the guy's a virtuoso.
The Mermen, Jim Thomas on guitar, Jennifer Burns on bass, and Martin Jones on drums. The band has a new album titled, and again, excuse my French, Splendeur et Miseries. That's Splendors and Miseries in English, with Daniel Guaqueda on drums. For much more on The Mermen, go to mermen.net. She had that voice, soothing, kitchen table informal, and deeply familiar to regular listeners of KPIG. In fact, for many who had grown up in the Bay Area, that same voice was a touchstone of bygone eras in music and radio. It had been floating through the local FM airwaves like fog through the eucalyptus for decades. Which is why it was such a treat to meet Lori Roberts in person. She was not a jot different from the person you heard on the radio. The same wry warmth, the same burnished intonations from a lifetime in radio. But in person, off duty over a glass of wine, she often talked about different subjects, such as her beloved San Francisco Giants. In the same voice KPIG fans had heard time and again, mentioning Bonnie Raitt or Todd Snyder, off air, she might instead talk excitedly about Buster and Panda, Timmy and Mad Bum, like they were friends and neighbors. She loved to tell the story of how, back when she was at San Jose's rock station Behemoth KSGO, 1980s Giants legend Will Clark would call her on the air requesting she play AC/DC. Lori Roberts died Tuesday at the age of 67 after a year of severe health challenges. As the program director and operations manager at KPIG, she held one of the most influential radio jobs in Northern California, carrying the torch first held aloft by the pioneering radio wizard, Laura Ellen Hopper. Long before she landed at KPIG, Lori Roberts had attained a near legendary status in Bay Area radio as a disc jockey and on-air personality, with stints on the South Bay's most glamorous and powerful FM stations. She had even been inducted into the Bay Area Radio Hall of Fame. Still, even with that kind of juice in the industry, I mean, how many of us make a Hall of Fame in anything, she considered KPIG her dream job. She had, in fact, been a fan of KPIG for years, admiring the station's idiosyncratic musical personality and stability, an outlier in an industry of constantly shifting format changes and corporate reshufflings. Lori never met the woman everybody at KPIG knew as Laura Ellen, but when she inherited Laura Ellen's mantle, it seemed to make sense. In the Hopper era, KPIG had all but invented the format, now known as Americana, a decidedly non-Nashville brand of country folk music. Lori Roberts was a fan of the genre, but her tenure at KPIG meant a leaning more toward the rock spectrum, a reflection of her own background in classic rock programming. She also brought into the KPIG fold local musicians, such as Jamie Coffis and Michael Gaither. Lori grew up in the East Bay as a fan of the now legendary KSAN, which pioneered a free-form FM style that inspired her to study broadcasting at Cal State Chico, and then it was on to a years-long roller coaster ride on many of the biggest stations in the region, KOME, KSGO, and KFOX. At each stop, she brought her own accessible, just-folks style to the job. Over the years, she had developed relationships with many Bay Area musicians, most notably 80s rockers Huey Lewis and Greg Kinn. From her years at other stations and connections throughout the radio industry, she brought a marketing muscle to KPIG as well. Off the air, besides her abiding love for Giants baseball, Lori was devoted to the welfare of animals, spearheading an annual fundraiser called Days of Wine and Wet Noses to benefit organizations that work with animal rescue and shelter. The final year and a half of Lori's life was heartbreaking. It was so staggeringly awful that her friends and colleagues struggled to talk about it. She had to have a leg amputated. Her marriage of 30 years ended in acrimony. Her dearly loved dog, Seven, died. She lost her longtime home in the Santa Cruz Mountains as well. Now, the loss is ours to deal with. Rest in peace, my friend.
In the early morning on some Illinois road, I fell asleep at the wheel, but was quickly wakened up by a Marvell telephone pole. And a bunch of Grandwood faces screaming, is he still alive? Through the window I could see it hanging from a tree, and I knew that I had survived in life. Still a fire swing. Jambalaya is best song I can sing. Blackberry picking, eating fried chicken, but I finally learned a lot about pain. Life is just a time swing.
Time swing.
Life is just a time swing.
Time swing.
Life is just a time swing.
Time swing.
That's it for our show today. I want to again thank my guests, Merman fans, all of them, Steve Penny, Daniel Guacata, Jack Saylor, and Scott Deshane. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at golden@ksqd.org. Music, as always, by, of course, California's greatest band, the Merman. The Golden Hour is produced for KSQD 90.7 FM. I'm Wallace Bain. Thanks for listening.
KSQD Santa Cruz, community radio for our beautiful coast. Be kind to yourself and others, and thank you for listening.